In a dystopian technological realm full of confusion and disarray, three heroes emerged with a message to the masses. The year was 2004. Googlebot struck first, scorching the SERPs. The webmasters fought back, but the battle was brutal and decisive. When the smoke cleared, the webmasters were divided and defeated. Until now, a resistance has started, and the bots have been answered. Tune in to join the resistance and learn to fight the good fight and claim your place in the SEO world. From the minds at Mind Development and Design, welcome to the Mind Your SEO podcast. Be prepared to unlock the secrets of Google rankings and dominate your competition with the knowledge provided by your SEO guides, David Brown, Mark Boyd, and Russ Randolph. Mind Your SEO.
Hey there, and welcome to this week's Mind Your SEO podcast. I'm Mark Boyd here with Dave Brown and Russ Randolph, and we're here to answer your SEO questions and address the SEO news of the day and of the week. We've got a really cool question we're going to address here right off the bat, but right before we do, I want to make sure that all of you know we will field your questions through our website. It's Mind Development and Design. We've got an Ask a Question button up there. Just click on that button and submit your questions, and we will do our best to answer your question on a future Mind Your SEO podcast. That's minddevelopmentanddesign.com or just minddnd.com if your short-term memory is as bad as mine is. We got a really interesting question this week from Roger, and the question is, does using Google Analytics slow down the times of a website? I've never been asked that question before, although, Dave, I'm sure you've been asked questions like that many times. Russ, what's your 2 cents on this? Does Google Analytics, does using that slow down the load times of a website?
Well, I did not know the answer, so I had to research that a little bit. In December 2009, Google introduced asynchronous JavaScript code, and that reduces the risk of slowing the loading page that's tagged with the ga.js script.
You can very easily hit Control-U, look at the page. If you haven't updated your Google Analytics script or your site's been up and running for several years, usually you're going to get emails to be told to update these things. But say you haven't and you've never looked at it, you can go look real quick. Control-U if you're on Chrome, take a look at your code. Control-U will open up the script to your page, and then you can hold down Control and the F key and just type in ga.js. If it doesn't show up on your page, then you're not using the right one. Log into your Google Analytics account and grab the proper code. Pop her back up there. There shouldn't be any hiccups. And if you had any page load times involved with that, that should fix her up for you. So
you know what? I don't mean to put you on the spot here, Dave, but given that his question is about slowing down the load times of a website, what would you say are the top issues that people should look at if they're having problems with load time on their website, if it's taking too long to load?
Wow. That could be anything, really. what kind of site are we talking about? You know, what kind of plugins are you using? Okay, so let me just run down a quick punch list. A lot of times, do-it-yourself webmasters, they will have a fancy 10-megapixel camera, and they'll take these huge, massive pictures and upload them, and then tell something like WordPress or some other CMS to go ahead and just show this as a 300x250 when you've put up a 1300x1600 image. The browser is first going to try and read that, and the CMS is going to say, no, read this one. Images that are too large, a lot of times it's useless plugins. I've seen people that have 4 or 5 different performance plugins to see what's making their page run slow. Mm-hmm. Those performance plugins are not helping. a lot of this reared its ugly head back in the days when the caffeine update came out. Google wanted you to have all of your content provided to your site's visitors as fast as possible. So people started worrying about it. Is it W3C compliant? If it's not W3C compliant, then you're not going to rank. Go run google.com through the W3C. it's not compliant. That's kind of a do as I say, not as I do, if that was the case. Anywho, there can be any number of issues. You can have, I've seen SSL certs that are not properly working, or somebody's put up, you know, secured the wrong pages. Really, any number of things can slow your site down. The last thing that I would be worried about is Google Analytics, and it's not just because I drink their Google Kool-Aid all the time. It's because the pros far outweigh the cons. If you have no idea how people are coming to your site, what your most popular content is, why people are doing this action or not taking this action, you know, you can set up, if you're an e-commerce store, you should set up goals and track them and see how you can do better. What pages are problem children? Well, everybody leaves on this page. This page has a 90% bounce rate. Whoa, that's really high. There's something on this page that's either pissing people off or plain not working. You know, we ran into this with one of our clients who's a New York Times best-selling author. We got on there. He doesn't actually sell any of the books himself. He has his own website, and all the books are sold through Amazon. Well, Boyd and I and Russ, all three use Adblock, along with 3 million other people in the world.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So that page, there's nothing here. It's completely blank. Yeah, it's all here. No, there's nothing here. It's completely blank. Well, our ad block's blocking everything. It's also blocking everything to the other. We're only three of the 3 million people that use it, but that's severely cutting down your options to be seen. So there's all kinds of different things that can slow you down. And you know, seeing high bounce rates and then figuring out what's going on, the only way you're going to be able to fix that is if you have analytics of some sort installed.
Yeah.
Google Analytics is my favorite, although not a fan of them removing our keywords and whatnot, but there's still ways to find those sorts of things inside of Webmaster Tools. Having a Google Analytics account hooked to your Webmaster Tools helps greatly with conversions and key phrases, so you can still find quite a bit of that stuff.
And once again, that kind of gets back to people not just having analytics and Webmaster Tools, but actually taking the time to learn how to use it. And Google Analytics has a really nice training course there. So anybody listening that has Google Analytics, if you're really not sure how to use it, or if you don't think you're using it to full capacity, then by all means, Take a look online. Just look it up. They have Google. Oh gosh, now I can't even remember the name of it. Analytics Academy. Thank you. had a Google brain fart there, but yeah, some good training up there, because it's important not just to have it, but to really know what you're looking at and to customize it as much as you can, so that you can really track the results properly and get the information you're looking for.
So that's one of the last things I'd be worried about. There are a bunch of different site optimizer, speed optimizers, and I don't know how much faith you want to put into any of those. This is more of a tech end question. This would be more for our dev department than it is for the SEO department. We as SEOs rely on Google Analytics. And in fact, we won't work with a client without Google Analytics. It has to be in place, because there's no way for us to show you where we're going and where we've come from without a rule and guide to measure that. So analytics does that for us. the really tech part of that, Zim would be able to explain, well, any of the guys in our dev department, they're all super smart. Any one of them would have been able to explain that much better than I, but there are on-site, if you do site speed optimization test, as a Google search, you're going to find five or six different places where you drop your URL in, and it'll tell you your site speed is an A+ or a B- or whatever. These certain things were slowing you down. Take a look at those and see, do you really need them? And a lot of times it simply comes down to updating things. So, for example, if you've got 10 different plugins, one for your Twitter, one for your Facebook, one for your Google+, and we'll just use those because just about everybody has those on their sites anymore. You've seen the little, oh, I have, you know, 1,500 followers on Facebook. Here's all my friends, and those little pictures show up. if Google or Facebook has changed a part of their code base, their API, their knowledge graph, how you gather that information and put it in, if the person's free plugin that you're using is defunct, you can go into WordPress whenever you're looking at these and see last updated 3 years ago. Probably not going to be really fast. It hasn't been updated. There's no further development on that, so it hasn't made any of the latest updates in the last 3 years. Probably not going to be as responsive as you'd like it to be. So that's not always the case. That is the case sometimes. Quite frankly, just run through one of those speed test things and see how fast you're running. That should give you plenty of information. And then decide, do I really need this plugin? Is this really great for my site viewers? Could be. And as long as we're talking about plugins, that's something else I wanted to cover today as well. Had a couple of different people ask me on the phone, our ask a question section, which is on the blog. I have Yoast SEO plugin. How come I'm not ranking? An SEO plugin is going to help you do some things properly. But again, this is all based off of Yoast's calculations, and because you can get yourself an SEO score. Well, you didn't use the word this many times. It's not in an H1 tag, an H3 tag, blah, blah, yada, yada. It'll also show you a mock-up of what your title for that page is going to look like, the little blue line that's clickable in the organic SERPs, search engine result pages. It'll also show you what the description shows up. You can pop in your own description. I do believe there is still a section for keywords. Stop. Don't do that. In fact, any of you listening to this podcast right now, if your website still has meta keywords, do yourself a favor and go take them out. Google stopped using and crawling the keyword meta tag in 2008, and Dwayne Forrester from Bing says that they do still crawl the keyword meta tag, but only to see if you're a spammer. If you have more than three key phrases in there, you go on a special list as being a spammer. So
it can only hurt you, it can't help
indeed.
You.
Correct.
So get rid of that. I see a lot of people that are coming to SEO. They're new. They want to learn. They go out and they read as much as they can. And a lot of times the problem with that is there's some bad information out there because the SEO, air quote, expert that you just read his blog on blogspot.com, because he doesn't even have his own hosted website, just said, oh, you've got to have 13% keyword density and then stick all 62 of the key phrases that you want to rank for in your keyword meta tag. Use an H1 tag three times, which is not proper. You can only use an H1. There can only be one heading per page, guys. That's HTML 101, okay? So HTML is hypertext markup language, which is the backbone of the
web. Yeah, I thought it was how to meet ladies.
It can be, too. But that's on the How I Met Your Mother boards.
We'll cover that in a future podcast.
Yeah, Bernie Stinson. Yeah, wait for it. No, I'm kidding. Legend. All right. You know I go off on tangents. Anyways, now I've lost my place in my brain. It's a vast open space in there sometimes. We can edit that out, right? I'm joking. So here's some other problems, too. I worked for a company a year or two ago. I can't remember now. They had gotten into the same problem that Sears had gotten into. $75 or $125 SEO plugin. Oh, this is going to work. This is going to make all of our SEO efforts so much better. It'll take all the keywords that people use on our search, and it'll create landing pages. No, what it did was it made you the laughingstock of the SEO community for about 3 months. There was a point in time where on Sears.com, you could go in and type baby in a blender and hit search. And KitchenAid blenders would pop up to the top. Well, KitchenAid as a brand obviously doesn't, nobody wants to see a baby in a blender. That's the premise of a lot of really dirty jokes on the web. So somebody was being a troll and did that as a joke. But what this special SEO plugin did was it created its very own page. Sears.com/appliances/blenders/baby-in-a-blender. Well, what the hell is this? We don't don't put babies in blenders. Why is this up here? Oh, we have no idea why this is up there. Because any internet troll in the world can come by and do this. So the problem then becomes Google's duplicate content filter. Well, you have 350,000 products that you carry. Why exactly do you have 8.4 million pages? Can you explain that? It looks to Google like you're trying to game their system. You get in trouble. Traffic goes away. Ah, what happened? Your super special $175 SEO plugin screwed you. Now we got to go and delete, oh, I don't know, 8.2 million pages from the internet and then tell Google we're sorry and we won't do stupid stuff like that again and get her fixed. So, anywho, SEO plugins, be careful with them. Just because a function exists, meaning a field that you can fill out, it doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to be filled out. If you think that it adds value to the site visitors to your site, then go ahead and use it. But this is one of those, don't be greedy. It has a keyword area, and I do sell these 28 different products, even though only one of them is on this page. You put all 28 of them in there, it does you no good with Google, and it puts you on a spam list with Bing. Completely defeats the purpose, wastes your time, not going to help you out. What it does help out is your competitors, because I have three or four different pieces of software right now where I can go and type in a key phrase and search the top 10 competitors in Google across multiple data centers and pull in all of your key phrases. So you just did my keyword list building for me. Thanks. So I guess there's one more reason to not have that up there, right?
Indeed.
So if you're ranking for some really good, obscure, long-tail terms, keep it to yourself. Don't tell your competition. So we'll be right back after these
Google,
messages.
Google, 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 Google. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these commercial interest endorsements.
Hey, this is Mark Boyd from the Mind Your SEO podcast. You know, there's no worse feeling than someone telling you how bad your website looks, how hard it is to navigate, how busy and amateurish the design is, how, like Bono, they still haven't found what they're looking for. Well, very few businesses know that feeling because people are nice and they won't tell you. They just won't stay on your site and they won't come back. And if there's a problem, you'll only know because your traffic is low. Many of you are making do with a website that you know fits this description, but you don't think you can afford something better. Wrong. Out-of-Sites from Mind Development and Design will give your site the sharp, clean, professional web presence you need. And you don't have to be a technical genius to put your own fresh content and blog posts on there because it's WordPress and we'll show you how to use it. Seriously, we'll show you. Build your own contact forms with ease. Block spammers with a Kismet, probably the best filter there is. Get more love from Google with the Yoast SEO plugin and cutting-edge RDFA. Something your competition probably doesn't know about, but will by year's end. And before I forget, Out-of-Sites are responsive design. They'll look great on any device from PC to smartphones. Ditch those mobile sites, people. They're old news and Google doesn't like them. You want your website to look sharp like Joe Jackson, to navigate well like Lemmy, to get found like Rebecca Black, and to have responsive design so you get better response. Visit MindDevelopmentAndDesign.com or call 717-517-8383 and talk to one of our way cool, groovy, out-of-sight people to find out how to make your business out-of-sight.
Mind your SEO.
Sometimes cheap is good, but isn't your website too important to trust to some cheap web host? Like a really great cup of fresh coffee, sometimes it's worth paying a few cents more. If you're tired of downtime and slow performance, it's time for a better web host. Fresh Roasted Hosting's accelerated web hosting means your pages load faster and can handle more traffic, while their virtual and dedicated servers mean you've got room to grow. Best of all, every hosting service is backed by 24-hour support and a 99.9% uptime SLA. And thanks to their Tier 2 data centers in Texas and Pennsylvania, Fresh Roasted Hosting delivers a full range of hosting solutions. Accelerated web hosting, domain names, private servers, even co-location services, they've got you covered. Your website is too important to trust to some cheap web host. Upgrade to Fresh Roasted Hosting today and use promo code Fresh 2014 to save 10% on any new hosting service. Visit FreshRoastedHosting.com today. Terms and conditions apply. See FreshRoastedHosting.com for complete details.
Glad you stuck around. We are too. Now back to the Mind Your SEO podcast from the minds at Mind Development and Design.
We kind of want to recap some of the stuff with Google Analytics because it's so important to track what you're doing SEO-wise. And as we mentioned before, if you have analytics, if you have webmaster tools, take time to go in there, click, see what's in front of you, see what you can customize, see what you're looking at, most importantly. And Analytics Academy is a free course that you can take online through Google that will show you what Google Analytics is all about and how to, and specifically how to use it. It goes through each section and shows you the pieces and then shows you how the pieces fit together, because you know, analytics, webmaster tools, Dave said earlier, if you have those items connected, it can really help you in tracking not just your ranking, but in tracking your monetization for the work that you're doing, and see where your conversions are coming from and where they're not coming from, and figure out what you have to do to get more conversions coming in from the areas that need the most help there. But there's a lot to analytics. And Dave, I know you had a few things that you wanted to add here on that topic.
Just a brief overview. I mean, we've talked a lot about. I want to just recap real quickly. Having an SEO plugin does not mean you're going to have SEO success. That was my main point. They do help, and they can be completely helpful for those of you that don't know how to code, how to put that up there properly. That's great. Go ahead and use it. Don't overuse it. I'm often reminded of that. Was it Gossamer, the big red monster that wants the abominable snowman or whatever? Going to hug him and love him and call him George and smacking the crap out of, you know, Donald Duck and then Bugs Bunny.
I will love him and hug him and squeeze him and squeeze him.
I'm going to fill out every portion of this to the umpteenth degree and I'm going to rank overnight. No, that's not what happens. So really bad analogy. This would work out much better if we had a video. I could put the graphics in there, but that's not going to help. So don't worry about that. What you guys need to worry about, there's a lot of studies with content marketing, and we've talked about content marketing quite a few times, and I'm sure we will in future episodes as well, because it is very important. There's a lot of these companies now are it's not just infographics, it's interviews. You have to become part of your industry. If you're shy, hire a writer. There's a plethora of writers around.
I always love the example you used on that too, Dave, is the fact that you're talking about Jimmy Fallon, and the same holds true for David Letterman, Johnny Carson back in the day, Leno, any of these talk show hosts. People aren't tuning in to hear them talk for an hour. They're right. Tuning in because these people are bringing guests in, and you've used that analogy numerous times, and I love it because that's what your posts are when you get other people to contribute information to your site on your blog or your news page, or you have an interview with them. It, like you were saying, it shows that you're active in your industry, and it also provides more than just. I guess, for lack of a better term, more than just self-serving content for people who come to your site.
Right. Well, and the point I was getting at there, though, is if you're shy or you don't think you're a good writer, I don't think I'm a good writer. In fact, every one of my pieces I've written in the last 2 years, Mark Boyd, who's our editor-in-chief there at the company, goes over my stuff and puts periods and commas, and my English teacher would not be happy with how the internet has ruined me, but even my spelling has gone downhill with autocorrect. I mean, I had an excellent vernacular at one point in time, and now it's I still know how to say them. Can't spell half of them anymore, which is frustrating because I just wait for the little red line, right-click it. Yep, that's what I meant. Boom. But my point is, if you're a CEO or a business owner that's too busy putting together widgets or helping people out or doing this or doing that, your marketing will suffer because you don't have time to sit down and what do I write about? I've read some writing books and whatnot. You know, get your first draft out, and a shitty first draft is what you're looking for, and then fix it. But I go back and do that. I end up putting together a 1,500-word essay, which is not what I'm trying to do in a blog post. So the great thing about the newspapers failing is there are a lot of out-of-work writers that you can hire in several different places. Let them know what you want. Figure out a budget with them. And then keep frequency in mind. Well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go ahead and do this for at least 3 months and give it a solid test. It's going to be X amount of dollars per month. I want to have at least X amount of content per month, and I'm going to get it out there. I'm going to help come up with the ideas because I know it better than anybody else. So I'm going to come up with topic ideas. And if you have an SEO company or whatever, go look at the other at your other major competitors. What are they writing about? What are they blogging about? Can you do it better? Don't just straight up copy them. That's plagiarism, and duplicate content filter
indeed will
smack you down in Google. But those sorts of things are important. Do you have a blue widget or a process or a service that is hard for people to understand by just looking at your website in a minute? You really have less than 2 minutes to convey what you want to convey to a site viewer. So some people learn audibly. That's why we do the podcast. Some people learn visually. That's why there's infographics. Do a great infographic. Show them exactly, here's what this does. Here's how this device will improve your life. Here's how it evolved over time. Draw them a picture. Let them see it. Quote some interesting facts and figures. I'm sure, you know, most of you know what an elevator pitch is. 30 seconds to get your concept across to somebody, to a decision maker. So the decision makers are visitors to your website. You've got a little bit more than 30 seconds. Hopefully you can keep people entertained for more than 30 seconds to read something. So content, infographics, maybe your CEO, somebody wants to interview your CEO, push him to get out there and do the interview, or go and find the interview for him. Hey, these guys want to interview you. Do you think you can do it? Not only are you building a backlink to your website, but you're getting your CEO out there, and hopefully he's not a CEO like the guy at Abercrombie & Fitch that says fat people are abhorrible or whatever. He got...
I remember that.
Yeah, that happened not too long ago, what, 6 months ago? Yeah, you don't want your CEO coming out and saying anything like the Abercrombie CEO did. But anything smart, most CEOs know what they're talking about. They know their product. They know their brand. They know that they're on a pedestal. They need to support their brand and show, put their best foot forward. So get them an interview. Get your dev guys, your tech guys, or your organic seedling people, whatever the product or service is that you have, get somebody knowledgeable, an interview or two. Those don't have to be all the time. One a quarter is fine. Do some infographics, do some content, and do it on a regular basis. You're going to start to see staggering improvement. So, and when you do those things as well, make sure you have analytics set up and hooked to your webmaster tools. You can then go into search queries, click on with change in the far right hand column, and sort, and you can see how you're jumping up 20, 30, 40, 50 spots across multiple data centers for the things that you're talking about. So sometimes we were talking during the break, you are going to find some stuff and go, what is this? One of our clients did a review of a product called Big Ass Fans. That is the name of their company. And we saw big-ass fans in the analytics. We're going, what is this?
yeah. You never told us you wanted to rank for that one.
No. That's not what we wanted to rank for. We accidentally ranked for it, which is fine because it was a positive review. It is a really cool company. They have some really great fans, like ceiling fans and, you know, wind air movers. So, anywho, that was neat. Big Ass Fans is not a client of ours, so we generally won't speak about our clients other than in, you know, abstract here and there.
But if Big Ass Fan wants to be a client, we'll be their Big Ass SEO.
There you go. Straight from the mouth of Boyd. That's,
We'll maybe we could call ourselves Big Ass SEO.
Yeah, there you go. Not rebranding just yet, but I'll take that into consideration. Like, that's great. So with all of that, you know, the SEO portion of this is you need to be out there getting links by any means necessary, by infographics, interviews, spreading very high quality content that's helpful to people.
Just don't buy them on Fiverr.
Not any means necessary.
Yeah. Right. Any legitimate means necessary.
thanks for catching that. Yep. So, and to fall back on that, you guys do need to have analytics. So that should be it for this one. I feel like we beat a dead horse, but sometimes people need to hear things a couple of times before it sinks in. Okay, so I get it, Dave. We need analytics. Yeah. You got it. All right, that's it. I'm being a smartass. I apologize.
but, you know, we get asked these questions, these recurring questions regarding analytics and webmaster tools so often. I think it's good to keep addressing it because we get different angles on it. We get different kinds of questions, but it all goes back to the same thing. You need to have it, and you need to learn how to use it properly.
Mm-hmm. So, all good stuff. And remember, we do have the Ask a Question section. We like fielding those questions. It gives us something to ponder on. So, feel free. Please do. It is free. And we love answering them. So,
and if the if the letters PPC and PLA mean anything to you, submit your question about PPC, AdWords, Google Shopping, PLAs, product listings, you name it, on our Ask a Question section, because next week we're going to have our PPC expert Fabio in here to answer those questions for you.
And you won't believe this, but it's not the same Fabio from the canned margarine. Different Fabio altogether. So,
did you say canned margarine?
Yeah, isn't it canned margarine? It's in a tub, right?
Yeah, I'm a literal thinker, and I was just picturing margarine in a can and how nasty that would be to, like, open the can, this big glob of something that was once supposed to be plastic, but now we eat it.
Yeah, one molecule off plastic. Science teacher had us put a tub outdoors and let it sit for a month. Bugs won't even mess with it. it's plastic. They also don't eat plastic, so, anywho. All of that to say, Fabio is our resident PPC expert. He specializes in Google Shopping PLA and all that stuff. He's a Google certified AdWords professional, and he will be on with us next week to give us a brief overview, because that is, while we work with him with most of our clients, it is his specialty. And I have a lot of respect for Fabio. He started Total Web Talk, I think, back in 2004, Brian Mark and I and Ryan Scher and a whole group of us were moderators for Fabio. He was our admin. So good guy. Looking forward to that. So please do post any questions that you have about that. That's not something we'll normally cover, but if you ever do have a question, ask, and we will get Fabio to answer. So for the team at Mind Development Design and the Mind Your SEO podcast, this is David.
This is Mark.
And this is Russ.
See you guys next time.
From the minds at Mind Development and Design, remember, turn on, tune in, and rank.